Welcome to Lessons from a PhD, where every single episode teaches you different lessons to make your PhD and career journey easier. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy 2025. I'm sure you guys are wondering, where have you been? I am so sorry. First of all, let me apologize for going ghost with no explanation. Like, that was not nice at all. I completely ghosted you guys, and I had no explanation because I moved on to a new role last year. So in June 2024, I became a mother. So I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl last June. And prior to that, I was going through it the third trimester of my pregnancy. I was so tired, I couldn't even get up and work. Like, it was very, very challenging. So recording a podcast episode was like out of question. Then after I gave birth, postpartum just hit me from like the left side, the right side, the front side, the back side. You know, and even just like healing and everything after giving birth and adjusting to this new role, it was honestly a lot. But I can now say that I'm 7 months postpartum and I am feeling a lot better, feeling a lot like myself, or back like myself rather. And I was like, you know what? It's a new year. I have this fresh energy. I really want to start this podcast up again. So again, I'll apologize for leaving you guys hanging, but this year, Lessons from a PhD is back with a lot more content, a lot more things to learn, a lot more lessons that I would love to teach you guys. We're back in full force. But I will say that my life has completely changed ever since becoming a mother, like completely changed. My mindset has completely changed. And I want to kind of share a little bit about that in this episode today. So this new role that I'm in of being a first-time mother is probably the most challenging role, I would say, that I've been in. And I feel like I can say that with confidence because I have been through pretty challenging roles, like my PhD, for example. But I would say that my PhD was just solely mentally demanding, mentally tasking. Whereas being a mother, on the other hand, is not only mentally demanding, but it's also physically demanding, emotionally, socially. It just takes every part of you. And it's something that I didn't know until I became a mother. But one thing that has really helped me during this period of time is, you know, outside of the resources available, outside of having a support system, I would say is having people that are going through a similar experience. So AKA your tribe. Shameless plug, I did do an episode on finding your tribe last year. It was episode number 4. So I do encourage you guys to check that out. But I was lucky enough to have my sister and two of my friends give birth within about a month of me. And so we've all kind of just been going through this journey together. And it's been really nice because most of us are first time moms. So there's a lot of things that we don't know. And say if I see my daughter is doing something or, you know, learning a new skill, or I'm like, I don't know if that's normal or not. You know, I have those people there to kind of bounce it off and be like, okay, is your child doing this too? Like, are you guys observing this too? Or how are you feeling with all the emotions that you're going through and, you know, all the body changes and everything. So it's been really nice. And it's been also very helpful having a tribe of people that are going through similar experiences. And I feel like it's really helped me get through all the things that you go through postpartum as well. Now, that isn't to say that motherhood is all tears and struggles. It is probably the most fulfilling job that I've ever done as well. And I think it's so fulfilling because, you know, you brought life into this world and seeing that life grow and evolve and, you know, when they wake up, they give a big smile to you and it's like you are their world. They look at you and you are their everything. So I've just really been trying to enjoy this period of time and just take in all the little moments with my daughter because I know that she won't remain small forever. So it's also been very fulfilling. I will say that. And it's so funny because life just comes at you so fast. I feel like I blinked and I went from working full time at a job to being a full-time mother because I am on a 12-month maternity leave right now. So my days consist of
changing diapers, feeding my daughter, playing with her, making sure that she's good, she's safe, that she has everything that she needs. So it's just very interesting how my role has changed so quickly. But what I also want to talk about is just how my perspective has changed as well. I feel like once I've stepped into this new role as a mother, I just see my life and I also see my career in a much different life. And I want to kind of go into that because, you know, before I became a mother, I was very ambitious and I still am very ambitious, but I feel like my ambition has just climbed to another level because I just want to be the best woman and the best example to my daughter. So I want to get everything out of this life that I can. I want to work the hardest just so that I can be a great example to my daughter. So what exactly does that look like? Well, to me, I was really thinking about it in terms of just my career. And I was thinking about how, you know, I don't want to sell myself short in my career. I really want to live up to my potential. I want to get paid to the standard that I feel like I deserve. I want to work in a role that I feel like I'm best suited for. And so going back to work after my maternity leave has kind of just put this new fire in me where I'm not going to be afraid to go after those roles that I want. I'm not going to be afraid to ask for more money if I feel like I deserve it, because I'm not just working for myself now. I'm working to be a role model to my daughter and my future children. But then as a woman, you know, I feel like we face the dichotomy of, you know, we want it all in our career, especially if you're career minded. You want it all in your career. You want to climb the ladder, but then you also want it all in your family too. You want to be present for those moments. You want to be there for your children, for your husband. And, you know, I've really been thinking about that over the past few months of, can I have it all? Now, if you would have asked me this before I became a mother, my answer was always yes, 100%. You can have it all. You can climb up the corporate ladder and you can also have a family and be present. But now that I'm actually a mother and I'm actually in the trenches of being a mother, I've really, really been thinking about if this is possible. And it's funny, when I was thinking about it, honestly, our phones know exactly what we're thinking of, because I was on TikTok and I came across this video from Shonda Rhimes, and I'm gonna play it right now and then we'll talk about it after.
As a very successful woman, a single mother of three, who constantly gets asked the question, how do you do it all? For once, I'm going to answer that question with 100% honesty here for you now. The answer is this: I don't. Whenever you see me somewhere succeeding in one area of my life, that almost certainly means I am failing in another area of my life. If I am killing it on a scandal script for work, I am probably missing bath and story time at home. If I am at home sewing my kids' Halloween costumes, I'm probably blowing off a rewrite I was supposed to turn in. If I'm accepting a prestigious award, I'm missing my baby's first swim lesson. If I'm at my daughter's debut in her school musical, I am missing Sandra Oh's last scene ever being filmed at Grey's Anatomy. If I am succeeding at one, I am inevitably failing at the other. That is the trade-off. That is the Faustian bargain one makes with the devil that comes with being a powerful working woman who is also a powerful mother. I want my daughters to see me and know me as a woman who works. I want that example set for them. I like how proud they are when they come to my offices and know that they come to Shondaland. There is a land, and it is named after their mother. In their world, mothers run companies. In their world, mothers own Thursday nights. In their world, mothers work. And I am a better mother for it. That woman is a better person and a better mother because that woman is happy. That woman is fulfilled. That woman is whole.
Now, if you don't know who Shonda Rhimes is, she's a very popular screenwriter and television producer. She has written the scripts of the TV shows such as Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy, Bridgerton, and I'm sure there's others as well, but those are the most popular ones. And pretty much what she said is she can't do it all. Now, she is a single mother, and so for single mothers is probably a whole different story. I'm not a single mother, but I still share her sentiment. And it's very interesting because I completely agree with her that something will always have to give. You can't be at two places at the same time. It's just physically impossible, right? So at the end of the day, something's going to have to give. But something that I really believe in is time and seasons. You know, in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes, it says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And I really feel like our life can just be categorized into different times and seasons. So the way that I look at my life now, being a mother and also a career-minded woman, is I'm thinking, okay, in this season that I'm in, what is my main priority? Now, for everyone, that answer may be different. But for me, I know that right now I have a young child and I do want to have more children in the future. So my priority in this season of my life is my family and are my children, where I want to put 100% in my children right now. I want to be there for those moments, you know, when they're young. I want to be there when they need me the most. But as they grow older, it's obviously natural for your children. They go to school, they could go to university, to college, become more independent, and they will need less of your time. And so during that time, my priority is now going to change because I'm now in a different season of life where I can focus more on whether it be my career or other things that I have going on in my life because I have more time to dedicate to those things. Now, to me, that doesn't necessarily mean that my career is going to be stagnant. And I don't believe that it needs to be. It just means that there's going to be some roles that I may have to pass up because it requires more of my time and I know I can't dedicate that kind of time. But there may also be some other fulfilling roles that I will enjoy doing, which will require less of my time. And so those are the roles that I'm going to pick out because I know that it will not affect my family life. So anyway, that's my long-winded answer of can women have it all? The answer is yes, I truly believe we can have it all, but it will just happen in different seasons of life. It may not happen all at once. So yeah, another thing I want to talk about as well, so many thoughts have been going through my mind as I'm on maternity leave just related to my career. And I have a friend who just got off of maternity leave. She took an 18 months mat leave. And she's currently done having children. She's had two children and she said that she's done. So she's going back to work. And she went back to work last month for the first time after 18 months. And she was saying it was the hardest time to be back. And the reason that she found it very difficult was because she felt like she was behind in her career now. She's gone back to the exact same job that she did 18 months ago. And because it's been so long, she had to redo training of her job, which she kind of already knew how to do. And she's also with new employees as well, new coworkers. And a lot of people that she worked with previously have now moved on to other roles or been promoted and such. And so I think that's another thing that a lot of women who are career-minded don't really talk about is the going back to work after so long and feeling like you're behind. Because, you know, on average in the corporate world, it's usually every 2 years that you start looking for a new role, especially if you're someone that wants to climb. And so if you're taking that 1 year or 18-month maternity leave, you can kind of think of it of, you know, you're missing out on a promotion or you're missing out on changing into a new role. And you may feel like you're setting yourself back. And so I think that is also something that needs to be spoken about and just the challenges that go with that as well of having a gap in your career. And I hate to call it a gap because being a mother and going through this maternity leave, I have never worked so hard in my life that I'm working right now. Like I work my butt off and I feel like, you know, maternity leave, you also gain so many skills and you use so many of your skills as well. And so that's why I hate to call it a gap. I just feel like you're just switching roles just intermittently for 12 months or 18 months, and then you're going back to your typical job role. And I feel like maternity leave is something that we should include on our resumes as a role because, like I said, it requires so many different skills. Like, for example, during this time, I have used so many different skills that I have learned either in my PhD or in my job. So for example, like problem solving. I have problem solved why my daughter is crying for the past 8 months. Is she crying because she's hungry? Is she crying because she has a wet diaper? Or is something hurting on her? That is problem solving skills at its finest. Also, I feel like I've become more responsible as a person as well. I'm taking care of a whole human being, okay? I am making sure that she's fed. I'm making sure that she is alive. I'm making sure that she is safe, that she is comforted, that she has everything that she needs. So I have gained so much responsibility in the past 8 months that she's been alive. And again, another skill that I feel like I should add to my resume. And also, let's even just add in the ability to multitask. The way that I have had to multitask when I'm carrying my baby and also trying to cook, or carrying my baby, I'm trying to vacuum, I'm trying to entertain my baby and also do something at the same time. I've been multitasking for these past 8 months. So, like I said, there are so many skills that you use during your maternity leave that I feel like instead of employers thinking of it as a gap in their career, they should think of it as, oh, they just switched to a new role for a year or however long your maternity leave is before coming back to their previous role. So yeah, that's all I have to say about that specifically.
One other thing that I want to talk about as well is just how much being a mother teaches you and how much your child teaches you about yourself as well. It's funny, I was on Instagram and I came across an Instagram reel, and in the reel it was saying how, you know, when you have a clingy baby, it's God's way of telling you that you need to slow down in life. And honestly, I felt that, because when my daughter was first born, she was a contact sleeper. So if you guys don't know what that means, that just means that it's a baby that can only take naps or only fall asleep when they are touching you, when they are in contact with you. And so for about the first 2 months after she was born, she could only nap if she was either laying on my chest, or if I had her in a baby carrier, or if she was on my back. And so that means that during her nap time, which was pretty much every 2 hours when she was first born, I couldn't really do anything because she was on me, right? And so when she was sleeping, I was also laying down. So the majority of my days were just consisting of me just not really being productive in, I guess, the sense of how I was productive before I gave birth, right? And so that just really taught me that it's okay to slow down, you know? It's okay to take a breath sometimes. It's okay to not do anything. And I feel like me always wanting to be productive, I actually allot that and I owe that to my PhD, because in my PhD, my work ethic was like no other. I was such a busybody. Like if I wasn't doing one thing, I was doing the other. My day was filled with so many tasks that I had to complete, where just time after time, day after day, I would be doing so much. And when I look back to it, I find that I didn't really take time to rest. I didn't really take time just to slow down and to do nothing. And even, you know, after I finished my PhD and I started working, obviously I had more time on my hands, but I always felt so anxious when I wasn't doing anything, right? So it's like after work, if I was just kind of like on my couch chilling, watching TV, I would get anxiety. Like, am I supposed to be doing something? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? And so me having a clingy baby that loves to always be on me, loves for my attention, it's really just taught me to slow down and to rest, and just to kind of just take in those moments around me that I don't always need to be completing tasks. So that's something that's also very interesting, you know, that I've learned as being a mother. But that being said, you know, I am still very passionate about this podcast. There are still so many things that I've learned that I want to share with you guys. I am an avid learner and I learn from so many things. I learn from my environment. I learn from different roles I'm in, different experiences that I've gone through. And it's something that I would love to share everything that I've learned, whether it be in my PhD, in my career, in just this new role of being a mother. It's something that I really want to share with everyone. So I'm still continuing this podcast. I think I overpromised when I first started this podcast and I said that, you know, you guys will have an episode every single week. That was definitely an overpromise. And I feel like what I can promise now is probably once a month. I will aim for bi-weekly, but let's just say once a month, okay? You can promise an episode monthly. So let's just say that. So the next episode will be on networking, and it's an episode that I've been wanting to record for the past year. And it's something that I want to share, because the way that networking has come through for me in every single area of my life. Networking has come through in my career, in my nonprofit, which I will talk about, in my education. Like, I stand by networking. I really think that your network is your net worth. So I do definitely want to share some of the tips that I've learned about networking and even my experiences with networking with you guys. So make sure to look out for the next episode, which will be out in at least in a month. I can say that. As well, you know, this year for the podcast, I also want to invite a lot of different people to talk about maybe the different things that they've done with their PhD, and just different things that you can learn, right? There is just so much out there that we can learn from others. So I want to bring that to this podcast for sure. All right. So thank you guys for your patience with me. Thank you for listening. I'm so happy to be back, and I'm excited for this new year of lessons from a PhD. All right. So with that, I'm closing out, and see you guys in the next episode.